today in the Franciscan order, and now universally we celebrate the memorial of Blessed John Duns Scotus. Blessed John is a crucial figure in the life of the Church, for when the Immaculate Conception was not fully understood, he it was given the grace to mind what was originally left with the apostles and give to us a clear explanation so that we can understand it. First, he says, we must ask the question, does God have the power to do something? And if so, is it fitting that he do it? And if it is fitting, then he simply says he did it. And so, in the case of the Immaculate Conception, certainly God had the power to preserve someone from ever contacting the stain of sin. And certainly because the Blessed Virgin Mary was called to be the Mother of God, it would be most fitting that she be a pure vessel. And so God simply did it. He explains it by saying that in the Immaculate Conception, we know he uses an analogy of a physician whom we know can cure a patient in one of two ways. He can give him the medicine that takes away the disease after it is contracted, or he can give the medicine that prevents the patient from ever getting the disease. And in the case of the Blessed Virgin Mary, this is precisely what God has done, preserved her from the stain of original sin. This becomes most important for us, for we see in the Mother of God one who is completely victorious, one who is completely free. For Blessed John would also point out that if we exercise our freedom in order to sin, it does not mean that we are exercising true freedom. Rather, we are choosing to be slaves rather than to remain free, free vessels in which God wishes to pour his grace. The Mother of God, because she was incapable of sinning, always was free and always did the will of the one who created her. And so she truly is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And in this understanding, we come to know that in the book of Genesis, when it says that God would put enmity between the woman and her seed, we know that that enmity is universal, that at no time does the stain of sin, original or personal, ever touch the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary. From the first moment of her conception, she is the sign that God had foretold in the Old Testament that all mankind was to look for if they were to truly look for and to understand the Savior. And so it is precisely because of a misunderstanding or a denial of the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception that so much error has crept in to the mystical body of Christ, and indeed has caused many to separate themselves from the Catholic Church. But without this doctrine, we truly cannot have the true knowledge of the Christ and ultimately who he was. And so she was that immaculate virgin sign that all of humanity was to look forward to, and she unfolds and reveals to us the deep mysteries of God, especially in the person of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She provides for him the flesh that he would offer for the sake of our sins. And so it is very important, and it also is important for us to understand that until the point when the matter was resolved, that is, when the definition was given and ultimately the formulation used by the Vicar of Christ was that of Blessed John Duns Scotus, many had been ignorant or misunderstood, not necessarily denying the doctrine, but misunderstanding it and its depths and its profundity and its meaning to the mystical body of Christ. Indeed, St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe would develop it to the point that up until the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, the whole purpose of the Franciscan Institute was to defend that prerogative, and after that, the work really begins. That is, what does it mean in the practical life of the Church? And ultimately, St. Maximilian would be given the grace to resolve this by pointing out the way of total consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because she is immaculately conceived, we can give ourselves entirely to her as a sort of end, because she can do nothing but give us that which we were created to receive, the life of Christ in this world, in order to be happy with him forever in the world to come. Without a proper understanding of the Immaculate Conception, we cannot have a proper understanding of the sacred Scripture, and indeed, we cannot have a proper understanding of the economy of salvation, and we put ourselves at great risk. And so, we honor this day, Blessed John Duns Scotus, and we also pray to him that one day within the life of the Church, we may live to see the definition of the co-redemptrix of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is, she cooperates in a unique way with the Savior in the salvation of the world. And so we have much to look forward to, for with each definition of a doctrine by Holy Mother Church, an abundant amount of graces comes into the world for the conversion of souls. And indeed, often it is hard for us to understand how souls like St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure would have a misunderstanding of the Immaculate Conception. It is because up until it was formally defined by the Church, then it was open to theological debate. Their contribution was simply in error, but after that, there is a grace given to the mystical body, for it seems almost matter of fact for us to say it's that the Immaculate Virgin Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. That is not necessarily anything that has to do with us, but by the mercy of God, in which he blesses the Church with many and abundant graces once a doctrine is defined. And so we can pray earnestly that the doctrine of the co-redemption be defined so that the Church may receive an abundance of graces. Strengthened by those graces, it may go forth preaching to the world the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Christ Child, and the need for all of us to turn to them in our trials and our tribulations, either publicly or privately in the lives of the human family. We must have constant recourse, as Blessed John Duns Scotus did, to the Immaculate Virgin Mary, praying to her always, even praying to her when he was called to defend this prerogative of the Immaculate Conception. And so he entrusted everything to the Immaculate Virgin Mary. He was a forerunner of what St. Maximilian would call total consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we honor him this day, we pray to him, and indeed it is important to note that he has been for many years celebrated as a blessed within the Franciscan order, but Pope John Paul II in 1993 elevated him to a universal blessed. And so if anyone knows of anyone who is in need of a miracle, and if that miracle will glorify God, he would be a good patron to pray to in order that that miracle would be worked, for he needs one more miracle in order to be canonized by Holy Mother Church. And indeed, in the canonization of all the saints, there is something providential, for God often waits and canonizes a soul when their primary teachings would be most beneficial to the mystical body of Christ and to universal mankind. And so let us pray that that miracle is granted by Almighty God, so that Blessed John Duns Scotus' works can become more well known, more understood, and more loved, because in loving the soundness of his doctrine, we ultimately love that doctrine which he spoke of, that is the doctrine of Christ. And loving the doctrine of Christ, we love the Lord himself. And so let us try to spend our lives like Blessed John Duns Scotus and all the saints, loving the Immaculate Virgin Mary in this life, being nurtured by her in the life of grace, and ultimately acquiring union with her and all the angels and saints, praising our good God together for all eternity.
Misericordes,